Mouthing Off is a theater, arts, and culture podcast from Bad Mouth Theater Company in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm Amanda Forstrom.
I'm Kevin Couchman.
And I'm Mari Sittner. Mouthing Off features compelling interviews and discussions with artists and creators from around the Twin Cities and beyond.
Tune in for something different online where you get your podcasts at badmouthtc.com and on the air in St. Paul through Frogtown Radio 94.1 FM.
And if you've got something going on around the Twin Cities you'd like to talk about, we want to hear from you. Email us at badmouthtc@gmail.com.
Mouthing Off is sponsored by Minnesota Playlist, the digital destination for live performing arts. Producers can find talent to work with, directors can cast productions with audition ads, teachers can find students with a classified, and audiences can find the perfect show to attend on the state's largest calendar of theater and dance shows. Find out more at minnesotaplaylist.com.
We hope you enjoy the show.
We're back with another episode of Mouthing Off, the Theater Arts and Culture Podcast from Bad Mouth Theater Company. I'm Kevin Couchman. You're listening on 94.1 Frogtown Radio FM here in beautiful St. Paul, Minnesota, or probably online, hard to say. Maybe on the radio, maybe online. We have the great Amanda Forstrom with us. Amanda, how are things in your world?
Oh, the great. I mean, they are great. So I'll take that. Thank you, Kevin. They're going
absolutely
great. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. We've had a really beautiful fall here in the old Minnesota, which kind of makes up for the rainy, wet summer. So that's been really nice and very pleasant. A lot of pumpkin patching and apple orcharding and just all around loving it. So yeah.
Family planning. Everybody's dealing with family stuff. It is beautiful. And we're going to get up to 60 degrees here soon. In any case, people don't tune in to listen to the weather. We have a great guest for you coming to you straight out of Colorado. Matt Taylor is here. Matt is the co-host of a great podcast called There Will Be Books, and we're going to hear all about it. But maybe, at least in a self-serving way, the most important thing for me is that Matt has agreed to be in the hot seat for my other podcast, Art of Darkness, at artofdarkpod.com. Matt is coming in as the co-host for 2026 and hopefully beyond. So we're going to use this hour to get to know Matt, hear about There Will Be Books, and I guess check the weather in Colorado. Matt, welcome to Mouthing Off. How are you? How are things out west?
I am great. It was in the 70s today, in November in Fort Collins. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, doing well.
I mean, Minnesotans do talk about the weather, Kevin. That's that's how our way of like saying, hi, sure, we like you and like, you know. Yeah.
weather and like pending surgeries and how the Vikings have lost or how poorly the Twins are doing. We have all of that in common all the
time.
I'm so excited to introduce the two of you because one of the topics that Matt and his co-host on There Will Be Books broached recently was A Court of Thorns and Roses, which Amanda has a personal connection to. So first, I want to tee up Matt because he's our guest. So Matt, we'll come around to the fairy business, and we'll talk to the fairy queen herself here on this episode. But Amanda, you're going to come on Art of Darkness too, I hope, in January, if you have time to do a Shakespeare thing, I hope. And in any case, Matt, tell us about There Will Be Books. Introduce that to people. What is that podcast? Why did you start it? All the stuff that people are kind of curious about, I'm curious about.
Oh, essentially, it is me and my buddy Peter, and it's just two guys talking about books, what we're reading, and basically to kind of give our wives a break so we're not yapping at them about books and what we're reading. So they kind of let us have our little sandbox and talk to each other.
Okay. How long have you been doing it?
We've been doing it since 2020. So 5 years.
So it's a pandemic pod.
But yeah. Yeah. Basically.
This is Art of Darkness is the same.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amanda.
How did you guys meet?
We've known each other for a long time.
Okay, so you are IRL folks and then transcended to the online. Awesome.
Yeah. It was like, we should just start a podcast about what?
Yeah, there's
books. And we're kicking around titles. There's a cool almost called it the Shadow Line, which sounds kind of darker and cool. There's a Gorbadal quote in one of his essays. He's talking about, there's an essay about Edgar Rice Burroughs and Frank Baum, Wizard of Oz. And they both got their start kind of late at 38, 39. And he said, you know, 40 seems to be a kind of shadow line in American lives. It must be crossed in style or else, you know. Like, Peter, what have we called the shadow line? It's like, oh, that sounds cool. What's it mean? And our wives are like, ah, that sounds cool. What's it mean? It's like, what if we just go with something more fun and cartoony? And so we got the cartoon dog drawn up and with There Will Be Books.
All right. Well, we can call this episode The Shadow Line.
Yes.
I definitely relate to that, man, having been in a midlife crisis since 2020.
Haven't we all?
Yep. But that's great. So how did so you decided to start this podcast? It's going to be about books. Is there, if you had to describe it to somebody, like to pitch them, you know, why would somebody want to listen to this? They're book lovers. You know, the fact that you two have such a good rapport really comes across. It is like listening to two old friends talk about books. And for people who are into books, that sells itself. But maybe go a little deeper and, you know, sort of tell us, like, what was the original germ of the idea? And I know you have different motifs, right? You'll do a particular author for an entire year, things like that. Yeah.
I mean, I think the pitch is, if you're not as into books, I know a lot of people who want to read more, but it's like, I don't have time, or I'm not really, you know, they think it's a little too heady, or I think we're not snobby about it. We'll read whatever. We'll read, we read Nicholas Sparks a couple years ago. We'll just kind of dig into stuff and kind of just kick it when we're done with it, do an episode, kick it around, talk about what we thought about it, why you should read it, why you shouldn't.
Yeah. So you guys don't have like a particular niche that you float around in, or a certain like authors or anything like that. You kind of run the whole spectrum of interesting books or things that titles that you've heard of, or awesome.
Yeah, we try to jump around. Like, 1 month we do a book of the month every month, and then on Patreon we have a thriller corner where we read like airport type thrillers and stuff like that. So yeah, that.
Go on.
Oh no, like a popular, like we'll do a bestseller this month, or an old mystery, or and our TBR kind of adds up maybe a little quicker than we can read it. But
you'll talk about self-help books. I think you mentioned even like being open-minded to their books, right?
I've been pushing to maybe read a self-help book, and Peter's not quite willing to go there.
That's where the line is drawn.
He's like, no, I don't
want the shadow line.
He's the highbrow guy, and I can kind of like peek my head up into the clouds, but I like a good thriller, a good mystery, you know, so.
Or a good book of softcore fairy porn.
Yeah.
Some people call it, I have not read it.
Oh, okay. But Well, first, Amanda, tell people why we're bringing up A Court of Thorns and Roses, because for people who don't know, Amanda is a luminary in this world. She's canon, Amanda, here.
I don't know about that, but I have done a couple of podcasts about ACOTAR, as it is lovingly called, A Court of Thorns and Roses, ACOTAR, or ACOSAF, or what, you know, all of the
acronyms
for them. Yes, thank you, Kevin. So I, before pandemic times, I was cast, I work with a company called Graphic Audio. And if you love books and you don't have time to read, but you're more of like a listener and you're not wanting something traditional, what Graphic Audio does is their tagline is called A Movie in Your Mind. So they have a narrator or a first person character narrating it. And then for each character, there's a different actor, voiceover actor, that does lines, and then they score the whole thing, engineer it, have you know, for, so they'll do anything from Western books to sci-fi to softcore fairy porn, and they'll have, you know, horse whinnying and you know, fairy wings flap, Illyrian wings flapping. You'll know what that is when you read the book. And and it really is, you know, if you close your eyes, it'd be like you were listening to a full movie version of it, which is super cool. I think, especially during the pandemic when people were looking for something different, they really exploded. But I've been with them for over 10 years now, which is insane. Somebody asked me how many titles I've done with them, and I think it's almost 300 at this point.
That is incredible. I didn't realize that, Amanda. That's incredible.
I mean, you know, this is also including my, you know, little alien creature from the planet, blah, 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 where you have 10 lines, or you're a vampire ghoul and you, you know, explode and it's your like, well, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, long story short, I was asked to audition for A Court of Thorns and Roses. And thank God I did not know the popularity and the scope and the following that it had back then. And I think it's only accelerated, of course, exponentially. But so I was cast as Morrigan, and she's kind of one of the supporting leads of that book series. Yes, she is a member of the Night Court, and she is Rhysand's High Lord.
How did the song, bum, 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 the Night Court, like, I'm thinking about the sitcom from the 80s. Yeah, go on.
Oh, my gosh. The High Lord's second in command, after another lady who is very scary and awesome. And, it's just kind of exploded, and there are five books, and they're amazing and super fun. Some of them are racy, especially the last one. But it's just been a wild ride. You know, I've gotten to go on these awesome podcasts, meet really cool people online who just love these books and love her universes, because they think that they overlap and they have all these theories. And it's super fun. It's super fun. So I'm excited for you to join the fairy realm, as it were.
It's next on the list. I'm kind of excited. It's us reading that stemmed from, we had a little get together with a buddy of ours who's an author, and then our two wives, and like in a backyard barbecue, they all started talking about Port of Thorn and Roses and which one they're on, and they all love it. And it was like a bonding. And me and my two buddies are like, we read all the time. Like, we don't have that. We don't have a book in common that everybody's read. If we were going to go to a random barbecue for our kids' school or something, there's not like a dude equivalent of everybody's reading this. Oh my God, have you seen this? You know? And so we were kind of like, maybe a little jealousy. We're like, well, you want to see what's up?
Yeah. Except for the only person I know who does that would be Kevin, with probably Cormac McCarthy.
I was going to say, when Cormac passed away, we did it. The bros did have 2 weeks where Blood Meridian went around.
Yeah. Blood Meridian and No Country, I think, would be the closest. But it's not as massively popular.
People have Pynchon, but it's nothing like this where, it's in every airport in your face.
Right. And I think the last time that sort of happened was like maybe with Twilight or Harry Potter.
Potter. Mm-hmm. I was in England. I think it was in 2007 when the last book came out. And it was one of the most insane days. It was in London. And every second person was reading it. They were literally sitting in like London Bridge Station in a row reading the book. It was like a moment. So it is cool when something like that can happen with literature, even if it is maybe not as highbrow as, or even middle brow, you know what I mean? But it brings people together. So you got jealous of the ladies, Matt. The bros were like, what's going on over here?
Looking over his shoulder, what is this? Like,
go ahead.
Is the cure to male loneliness A Court of Thorns and Roses?
Embrace A Court of Thorns and Roses. Yes.
Yeah. That's funny. You were going to say, Matt?
Oh, just another fun thing we do, is prop bets for a new book that we haven't read before, a new author. So before we start reading it, we go through and it's like, okay, what do you think is going to happen? Are we going to have a love triangle? Like, so we've done that.
Talking horse. I think you said there was going to be a tie. I loved listening to that. It was hilarious. Talking horse, I think you were speculating.
Are they going to be mad? What kind of magical beast? And I think we landed on, okay, probably talking. Or Peter said just a horse. I was like, no, Peter, horses aren't magical. Like, horses exist. And so, like, talking horse. He's like, okay, yes. So I think I said, I think it's going to be a dragon. Peter's got talking horse. And so
we'll and this is for A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got ours in a couple episodes ago, our prop bets for A Court of
okay.
Thorns.
Okay. I have to go back and listen to that now and have a giggle. Okay, perfect. I'm extremely interested because, like, this is a predominantly female kind of the new romantasy genre, as they say, is primarily read by females. And they have some camps that they align with and have opinions on, much like the Jacob and Edward Twilight feud, right? Only this is kind of more in depth and it's very psychological, like the female psyche, I think. And so it's interesting picking that apart as a female, but I'm really interested to hear what men say about it and what they think about these relationships and how the main character is kind of in her head and deciphering things and the choices that she makes. And how it's perceived by men, and the male's choices in the books as well, and why they do what they do, and you know, is
well.
So
we're going to have an opportunity to have that conversation on Art of Darkness in 2026.
Yes.
So this is going to be a bit of a crossover thing. So you're going to get the tee up here, and then we'll actually hit the ball in January, hopefully. Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. I'm very curious. I will sit on the sidelines. I might read a few pages of this thing. Maybe Amanda, maybe you could do a few. You know, okay. Do I got to read? Okay,
you got to read them.
I have to read. Okay, I'll read the. I'm not. I'll read the first one. My reading schedule is pretty gnarly, but I'll agree to read the first one. Okay, so I can participate because I don't. I've got FOMO. I've got fairy FOMO now.
You know what the danger there is, Kevin. You love it so much, and it's like, all right,
right. I am. I'm going. I'm going to Cancun in January. I'm going to go lay on a beach. So this will be my beach read. This is going to be my beach read.
Maybe
yeah, for sure.
The second one, just in case.
I'm just going for 4 or 5 days. Just going to go lie on a beach. Yeah. Wish me luck. It's going to be fun.
This is like the perfect beach book. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll just give you the set, Kevin, and you can just
That'd be great. I love it. Yeah, Amanda, what have you learned about the fandom in this world? What have you learned about the folks? Is there a particular thing binding them? Are they just literature lovers, or I'm trying to imagine what a fairy fandom looks like. Are they very online? Are they very online people?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I think that's what took me by surprise first. Is like when I. And maybe you know this story, Kevin, but for the listeners and for Matthew, I didn't realize how big it was until I was on Instagram and I saw a cosplayer cosplaying my character, and they get hired at these like balls that are put on that are kind of sort of romantasy centered, if you will, and using a clip of my voice. As like, and it was like a TikTok, Instagram sort of crossover video or reel or what have you. And it was this really surreal moment of, oh, you know, and she's got, this person had 60,000 followers on Instagram.
And she just cosplays as Morrigan.
Maybe not all the time, but she has quite a few videos as Morrigan with my voice, which is insane. And that sort of opened the door. And I'm like, wait a second. If she's doing this, how many other people are doing this? And whoa, this is crazy. And so they have these balls and events. They have book signings. They have appearances. One of the other voiceover actors has generously sent me like representation, a person that will exclusively represent you to go to these events as an actor.
Like
and you'll
cons like, and you'll cons. Be like a celebrity. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then also, I think, Kevin, what you said, you know, you go to the airport or you go to bookstores or, you know, anything like that. And they're just, these books are everywhere. And you open it up. And I was there with my mom buying something. And I was like, you know, we were checking out. And I was like, told the checkout lady, I was like, I voiced one of these characters. And she, it didn't like compute for a second. And she's like, oh, what? Oh. And so it was Yeah, yeah. They are very
It's a weird kind of niche celebrity. It's yes. You know, you're not a household name, but in this community, they know who you are. They know your name. They even use your voice. It's very postmodern. It's a very online moment. Yeah.
And I think, I don't want to say it's taking the place of cons, but I think in the psychology of our and Gen, what is after us, Gen Z, it is Gen, you know, millennial Gen Z. I think it's very much if you're not into, you know, the Star Trek, Star Wars or the comics, these now are taking kind of the place of that in the lore.
You got ahead of what I was going to mention next, and I want to hear what Matt thinks about this. It's Star Trek started all this, right? Like this is that's the fandom that rules all fandoms, right? Was there anything before Star Trek that was remotely like this? Like Train Guys, I guess. I don't know. Like, I mean, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's not quite the same thing, but have you heard of the Bakersfield Irregulars? The people get really into Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, sure. It might have been, right? Yeah. The Holmes people. Oh. Yeah.
And they treat Watson like a real person. And, mm-hmm. you know, Holmes was a real person and Watson was the guy just chronicling his life. And
it's giving Tism for sure. Yeah. So that's fine.
I don't think that's as popular.
Right. Well, maybe over in England. Yeah, that might have been. Yeah. You know, a lot of this stuff does, this media culture, you can trace it back to England, the tabloid culture, the pop culture, you know. But yeah, I think Star Trek would be like the American, where like the idea of like a bit actor, and I'm not calling you a bit actor, Amanda, but you understand what I'm saying. Like a bit actor on one. Wow, bits are great. You always commit to the bit.
That's my favorite kind of acting.
Stick to the bit. Yes. Stick. Never, never deviate from the bit. Artofdarkpod.com. Matt Taylor, co-host 2026. It's going to be great. We're going to tease the season two for the people who bother to listen to this. And I'm going to put it in the Discord. So, but Matt's coming on the show this weekend and then we're going to really formally announce it. But I'm very excited. And thank you, Matt, by the way. I'm just going to thank you publicly here for coming on. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's an honor. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. No, dude, it's going to be great. And in this coming season two, we're going to have Brad Kelly's going to come back and do a core episode in the summer. Abby's going to do a core episode in the summer. And then we're going to have my friend Jack from the Book Club from Hell do an episode in the summer. And I love the Book Club from Hell. Jack actually reached out after Matt and I had kind of already co-signed and we were like, okay, I think this is going to work, you know, and da da da. And he wanted to maybe come on. And I said, Jack, you know, come on and do one. But it's like, I don't want Jack to get too distracted from the Book Club from Hell because it's one of my favorite shows. And nothing against There Will Be Books, but I mean, I love the Book Club from Hell. The Book Club from Hell is like, and you're going to keep doing There Will Be Books, Matt. I don't want to give anybody the impression that, yeah. And I think these two will pair nicely together too. I mean, I just hope that your reading schedule isn't too gnarly, but I think since we're sharing duties, we're having the guests come on to do the core episodes, I think we'll be in good shape. Why don't we tease right now, Amanda? Can I just, I'm not trying to hijack this, but we're going to do a bunch of 1-2s next year. So I'm starting the year with Freud then, which is great. It's going to be this very greasy, slimy way to start the year for Shame Month. So I don't know if you know this, Matt, but we do Shame Month on Art of Darkness. January is Shame Month. Every January Shame Month too. You have to balance the scales. So perfect for Shame Month, Freud. Oh, yeah. And then you're going to do Jung.
Yeah.
Jung, following on Freud. Jung. He's going to be awesome. And we're going to have so many good guests come on. And then we're also doing another 1-2 where, Matt, you're going to be doing C.S. Lewis. But I think first I'm doing Tolkien. So that's just a taste of what the direction we're going next year. I like this idea of these episodes that pair well together. I think that'll be fun. Yeah. Cool.
It's got a good esoteric kind of blend, kind of feel to the season. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we have the Rock and Roll Suicides in the fall. We're going to do, we're going to do, you know, Richie Edwards and Amy Winehouse. You know who Richie Edwards was, right, Amanda?
No? I don't, but I know I love Amy Winehouse.
Ugh. Sure. Yeah. No, Richie Edwards was the like lyricist and stylist and rhythm guitar player who wasn't plugged in half the time for a band, probably the most famous Welsh band Manic Street Preachers.
Okay,
and he's
incredible.
And he disappeared when he was 27 and presumed suicide. So I'm going to cover him. They're one of my favorite bands. And so we're going to, anyway, those are six of the episodes there for 2026 for Art of Darkness. So, and then Abby's doing, Audrey Hepburn next month. And I just did Eugene O'Neill, which was so fun, so dark, so horrible, and just a great reminder that like art doesn't have to heal you. Like you can, we have this idea. Well,
for that matter, it doesn't have to heal anybody else either.
Right. Yeah. We're big art for art's sake people. Matt, I want to ask you a little more about There Will Be Books too. Like, is there, and we'll talk more about the fairy stuff because I'm very curious about it. Is there, a book that you've come across in the course of that show that really surprised you, or an author that you maybe wouldn't have read otherwise that the show kind of turned you on to?
Oh, I like Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, yeah. That's what,
Speaking of Audrey Hepburn, way more than I thought I would.
So good.
Like, it's really good. I like the movie, but the book is better than the movie.
Miles, Truman Capote.
Yeah, that took, and it's not, I'm a big Gore Vidal guy. He's like my author. And he and Capote like didn't get along. And I was really surprised. Like, I really, really enjoyed Breakfast at Tiffany's though.
It's outstanding. I mean, they really neutered the film and made her less of a prostitute, frankly.
And they made it more of a rom-com. And it's, the book is not, there's no tension between the character and Holly Golightly. But
sure. And the racism, the extreme, Mickey Rooney does not hold up at all. It's crazy. Yeah. But the book is extraordinary. Amanda. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm curious. What was the, was there an outright feud between the two authors or like some incident that set it off, or just like the style or the time they were in and just kind of like, you know,
So it was Capote's fault, sort of. Like, so they're contemporaries. Mm-hmm. And it's Vidal, Norman Mailer, and Truman Capote are kind of like the three post-World War II up-and-coming novelists. And they'll, Capote and Vidal get along fine until Vidal gets... Like, Capote was a gossip and a bit of a fabulist, like just making stuff up for the sake of gossip, you know, which actually kind of, I think, fed... Like the fiction he wrote is pretty good and entertaining because of that. But Vidal got wind that Capote was bad mouthing him behind his back and just making stuff up and all this. And and that was just it for Vidal. That was like, okay, I'm done with you. And when Capote died, Vidal supposedly said, well, that was a good career move. Like,
oh man.
Like,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like that sort of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah. Interesting.
This is something normal people who aren't tied up in the high flying literary world, and which of course I'm one of those, but like, I don't think people really appreciate like how actually extraordinarily dangerous a great writer can be. Like, it's one of the things on O'Neill's, the O'Neill episode we just did for Art of Darkness, where he's going through this nasty divorce, his second divorce, very acrimonious. And he wants the wife, soon to be ex-wife, to agree that she will not write a line about their marriage while he's alive. That meant a lot to him. I mean, and he's the one who he never wanted Long Day's Journey Into Night to be performed, ever. He wanted it to be released 25 years after his death, and he never wanted it staged. And of course, his wishes were violated, and he won his fourth and one posthumous Pulitzer Prize for it. So irony of ironies. But that was the third wife who made that decision. In any case, it's a long story. But the second one, don't write a word about me while I'm alive. And she refused to sign it, right? Because she was already hearing from agents and publishers offering advances, right? They wanted
the dirt, of course.
The dirt, right? Yeah. And he told his lawyer or somebody to tell her that if she wrote a word, he would write a play that would blast her and her family off the map. And this is a guy who would buy that had already won the Nobel Prize, I think, or was he was on his way to winning the Nobel Prize. So it's like, and when you think about that, you go, oh yeah, I'm going to probably keep my mouth shut.
Start cataloging. Like, what could he write about?
Yeah. Well, it is. Isn't it funny? Human relationships are like that. It's like this game of chicken where you all just the intimacy problem, right? Where you sort of get to know each other and how much do you want to share? And then a marriage is just this total opening of the skirt, as it were. But that's great. Go on.
You know, I was just going to ask, could you imagine what Eugene O'Neill would write about your family's Thanksgiving if he was sitting there?
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine.
You know, yeah, everybody complains right about that, but like putting it into writing and on stage, good grief.
Absolutely. Yeah, and turning it into like a 4-hour play. I mean, one of the Pulitzer plays that he won for was called Strange Interlude, and it started in the afternoon. There'd be a dinner break, and then it would finish at the normal time of play. You know, like, geez, man. Wow. They don't make them like they used to, I tell you.
Yeah,
what,
I forgot about that one, but yes.
Sure. Ugh. Yeah. I mean, in any event, I don't know hardly anything about Gore Vidal, but I think, Matt, next year, I think you're planning on maybe doing a surprise paywall Gore Vidal experience. Yeah.
It's the Art of Darkness episode I was born to do.
Okay.
I think you'll be surprised at like who he knew, like just the kind of names involved. I think it's fascinating, but yeah.
Well, one of our running gags on the show, which has a grain of truth, is that, you know, we sometimes say on the pod that there are only 25,000 people alive at any given time. Because once you start to cover these characters, you realize, like, they knew this person who knew this person who knew this person. It's like, are we in a simulation? Am I just going to the wrong parties? Like, O'Neill's daughter married Charlie Chaplin. Okay, when she turned 18, and Charlie Chaplin was, I think, in his 40s, and they ended up having 8 children together. So,
I did not know that.
No idea. There you are. What a world! And it was just, that's why I love doing that show. You always learn something, and it's just such a fun format. For people who don't know, we do biographical profiles of dead artists. So the episodes will go 3, 4, 5 hours. Matt, I think the sweet spot is 3.5, 4 hours. And then we do a little bonus content afterwards. And I can't wait. The Gore Vidal, that's very exciting. I know hardly, he's one of those, you know, pretty well read, but he's one of those who I just missed. The book that he's most famous for?
Probably Lincoln or Burr. He did a lot of historical fiction, and they really hold up, and he made a point to make them accurate. But he would also do satires, like kind of funny, different. Like I read an interview, somebody said if you slapped a French or Italian name and said on one of Gore Vidal's like books, one of like Satire Messiah, one of his stranger ones, and said, oh, this is a new translation from a French author who's been out of print since the 60s. The critics would eat it up. They'd be like, oh, this is genius. But because, oh, that's the guy from TV in the 60s. And it's something with Abraham Lincoln. People like, oh, I know who this is. Right. So I don't think they get enough credit. And he and Joan Didion are maybe the best 20th century essayists.
Okay.
At least Americans.
So, yeah, I knew his name, but I did not know he's the grandson. I don't want to give away too much before AOD pod, but he's grandson of U.S. Senator Thomas Gore, and he was born into an upper-class political family. So I can imagine how that underscored all of his writing, and even ran for office unsuccessfully.
Well, and he gay? Was he gay, too?
Yep. Open about it in the 50s. 40s and 50s. So,
Man, one of my favorite moments researching an episode for Art of Darkness was Tennessee Williams and what a leader he was there. Where there's an interview, I think it might have been with Dick Cavett or one of these guys. Tennessee's clearly had a few. And Cavett kind of asks the question, and Tennessee's response is sort of, he mumbles a few things and then he says, "But I've covered the waterfront," is what he says. You just go, oh man, what a world. You know, yeah.
It's well, so you know, Vidal is friends with Tennessee Williams.
Doesn't they surprise really me.
Hang out. Yeah. There's a, you know, in Italy, they travel Italy together in a Jeep. It's kind of traveling the countryside.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It's that kind of circle. Tennessee was friends with Capote and maintained his friendship with Capote even after Vidal and Capote fell out. But Vidal can do a dead-on impression of Truman Capote. And so Gore Vidal used to call up Tennessee Williams as Capote, and the game was how long before Tennessee Williams realized it wasn't Truman, it was Gore pretending to be Truman. And we get 10, 15 minutes in, and it get more and more absurd. And be like, oh, is this Gore? Like,
I love stories like this. Yeah, Matt, you're gonna do great. This is gonna be awesome. I knew this is gonna work out. I love stories like that. On the O'Neill episode, there's a professor from the University of Kentucky who was trawling through the papers at Yale, O'Neill's papers, and found a letter from Tennessee to O'Neill about the Iceman Cometh and how he wished he could go and see it in New York, but he had the script and it was just lavishing praise on him. And I don't think Americans really realize that without O'Neill, you don't get any of that stuff. O'Neill was the progenitor. He's the founding father of the American theater. American theater did not exist. I actually think Gore Vidal, we quote him on the episode where I think there's a quote in the biography where Gore Vidal said, 200 years, before O'Neill, there was nothing in the American theater. It was 200 years of dreck or 200 years of, so you have to trace it all back to Eugene O'Neill. So watch The Iceman Cometh. We're doing book club. There's a good, very fine 1973 stage to screen adaptation of that one. And that's about a bunch of down and out drunks in a bar, in a flop house type bar in New York City. And it's all about their alcoholism, but it's really about their pipe dreams. It's about the dreams that they're hanging on to, how that's sort of one of O'Neill's big leitmotifs is this idea of, or his themes, this idea of these dreams that we hang on to, how they can, if we pursue the wrong dream, it can destroy us. And if we hang on to a dream that's unrealistic without acting, it'll destroy you. So it's a lot more in common with Beckett than people maybe would give him credit for. He's sort of grounded in like naturalism and realism, but there's more going on there, right? In any case, that's a very fine, if you're looking for some exposure to Eugene O'Neill, The Iceman Cometh. He also knew Emma Goldman. He was into
I did
anarchy.
Know that.
Yeah, philosophical anarchism and all this stuff. And man. Yeah. Well, and
have you guys seen Reds? The Warren Beatty movie?
I have not.
He's in it, isn't he?
Nicholson plays
Jack Eugene Nicholson. Yeah, right.
Is most of my familiarity with Eugene O'Neill. I'm kind of embarrassed to say now, but he's buddies with John Reed, who Warren Beatty plays in the movie. The guy who wrote 10 Days and Shook the World, and
And Matthew, where do you recommend folks start for Vidal? Writing, reading essays?
Probably his essays, unless if you're into history, probably Burr or Lincoln, I would go with. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I have to say too, Amanda and Matt, I've told Matt this. Amanda, you may not know this, but our mutual friend Matt Sachs, another Matt, interviewed Vidal in Vidal's house. And has footage of this. It was for some documentary or another. I don't want to give it away, but he's going back and getting the footage. So we'll see. There might be some very special Vidal bonus content for Art of Darkness people. Yeah, Matt Sachs. What a surprise! Matt Sachs never ceases to surprise and amaze me. A true journeyman actor. He was in Moderation here, and also an extraordinary ball knower. For an actor, he knows football, college football, as well as anybody. It's very, very impressive to listen to him talk about Alabama football in particular. But that we'll see. So, wouldn't that be fun, Matt, if you get some like Vidal footage that's never been released?
That'd be great.
I love that stuff. Let's see if we want to announce any of the other episodes that we're going to do next year. Let's see. We had a nice production meeting with Badmouth Theater Company. We're going to keep trying to do stuff. We're going to keep doing stuff. It's going to be good.
To be released later in 2026. So stick around, St. Paul, Minneapolis, and beyond. Stay
That's
tuned.
Right.
badmouth tc.com. And yes, Kevin.
Yeah. And we always want to say, if you're in and around the Twin Cities, or even if you're as far afield as in Colorado, you can always email badmouthtc@gmail.com if you have something to promote. We're always hearing from History Theater across the street here, but we want to hear from other theaters. If you're a creator here, you've got something that you got a pitch you want to talk about. These are easy hours. They go very fast. So yeah, January Freud, February Jung, March Tolkien. This is all on Art of Darkness for the coming year. Oh, and then in May, I'm going to do Helena Blavatsky. Amanda, do you know anything about Helena Blavatsky?
No, the name sounds familiar, but I can't place
her. She is one of these really important women. She comes up as Russian-American writer, but she was known as Madame Blavatsky. She was, and I'm just going to go by the Wikipedia here, Russian and American mystic and writer who co-founded the Theosophical Society in 1875. She was the primary founder of theosophy, and she was involved in the spiritualist movement. She's one of these major people who kind of led the occult revival.
Maybe that's how I have heard of her.
Yeah.
Theosophy.
Theosophy. Yeah. So I'm going to cover her. Then Brad's going to come on and do Max Ernst. Then we've got J.G. Ballard with Jack. I'm just going to lift the whole skirt here and just do the whole season. Then we've got Michelangelo, Abby. Yeah, that's going to be fun, right? I'm like, Abby, who do you want to do? She says, Michelangelo. I said, okay. I'm not going to say no. Abby did such a good job on her last episode. She covered Merita Mita, who I knew nothing about. Merita Mita is this household name in New Zealand. She is like kind of credited as being maybe the first indigenous woman filmmaker, full stop. And she was Maori, and Abby is Maori in a going back a few generations, and Abby's really embraced that too. She does like she's part of a Hakka group. She's learning the language. It was really fascinating. So she's uniquely poised, and as a filmmaker, she's uniquely poised to do that episode. She spent 75 minutes just giving a background on the Maori in New Zealand before she even launched into the biography. And there's no other podcast where you're getting that kind of content from somebody with that attachment to the story.
And that's amazing.
Yeah. And doing it kind of on the fly where we're not editing. We're not whooshing and swooping in. We're not cutting flubs. We're just giving it all to you raw, as it were. And just so proud of Abby. And she did a great year. I mean, obviously Brad Kelly and I started the prod. Brad left to do his podcast Method and Madness. Then Abby came in a pinch. Now she wants to go and focus on her filmmaking. But in any case, she'll be back. She'll do Michelangelo. Then we've got Amy Winehouse in September. Matt, you're going to slot in Gore Vidal somewhere in the summer, I think, for the paywall.
Yeah.
I can't wait. That'll rock. We'll put it behind the paywall and then like release it broadly, you know, in 2027, and we'll take a month off or something. Then Richie Edwards. Then you're going to do William Blake in November?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Blake.
Wow. That's going to be gnarly. That's such a good one to go with, like, Jung and Blavatsky and all. There's nobody has ever been like William Blake.
It fits. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the, the five-year-old's tiger poem that goes around on the internet? I saw recently someone posted, it's crazy that there are two great poems about a tiger. And the first one, of course, is Blake's Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright in the Forest of the Night. What fearful hand or eye dare frame, or what immortal hand or eye dare frame thy fearful symmetry, all of that. And I'm sure we'll read that one. That's great. But here's the poem by Nail, age six. Okay. And I think this is a woman who collects these sayings and these things from toddlers and then publishes them, I assume, with parental permission in a book. So the book is called They're Singing a Song and They're Rocket. And this is the second great poem about the tiger. It's called The Tiger. It's one of my favorite poems. You ready? The tiger, he destroyed his cage. Yes. Yes. The tiger is out. That's the poem. That's a great poem. That is a great poem. It's yes, yes,
yes.
The tiger is out.
Oh my gosh!
And then I'm going to finish the year with Hildegard von Bingen. The great Catholic mystic, I think, doctor of the church. I think she might be the first doctor of the church who we're covering, the one true faith. Matt, I want to get to know you a little bit in the last 10 minutes we have here. So where are you from? Where are you from originally? How did you come to love books? Didn't you and your friend who do There Will Be Books met at a Barnes and Noble?
Yeah, we both worked there right out of college. Yeah, so
For the kids out there, a Barnes and Noble was a
used
bookstore.
to sell books.
Used to sell books, and you would go there and you could, get some coffee and hang out and, get some college books and, remember
My
those days?
mother worked at Barnes and Noble. It was a big deal when Barnes and Noble, she was a school teacher, but she worked there at part time, and in the summers, just for the, I think, to be around adults and to get away from us, to get out of the house, right? But we loved, I mean, when Barnes and Noble happened in Little Bismarck, North Dakota, that was a we were we couldn't believe it. We had a Starbucks finally, right? I mean, it was the destination.
And it sort of became the next, after the libraries kind of, the county libraries kind of went downhill. They also had programming. They had kids' story hour. They would have authors come in and do book signings, and they would have speakers come in and, self-help books or do a little cooking kind of demonstration with a cooking book. And I mean, they did all kinds of stuff. So, oh my gosh, Barnes
When
and
was
Noble.
when were you working at Barnes and Noble, Matt? What year?
In the aughts, like
Okay.
back in the, I was gonna, I did one of those Harry Potter parties, like as an employee, dealing with all the kids dressed up as Snape and Draco and all that. Yeah, that was,
How
yeah.
many Expecto Patronums did you get? Or
A
did you
lot.
need
And
afterwards, should I say?
I didn't know what it meant because I hadn't read the
Okay.
books. And I was kind of, I'm like 19, 20. And so I'm kind of being snobby about I have all these, children's literature. I don't read it. And so I had no idea what they were dressed up as, what they were yelling at me with their little wands. But yeah.
You
Amazing.
survived. Well, and Matt, you have a degree in history, don't you?
Yeah, I got a history degree from Kansas State, so
All
state
right.
school.
Okay. That makes two of us. So we're destined. And see now this becomes Art of Darkness Studio Midwest. It's been Art of Darkness Studio West, but now you're further west. So you're Art of Darkness Studio West. Did you specialize in a particular area of history at K-State?
Not officially, but I did my big capstone paper on the frontier, the
Oh yeah.
perception
Cool.
of the frontier and the West, the mythology of the West versus what actually happened and all that stuff. So,
Yeah. That's a
yeah.
perennially fascinating topic. I mean, that's Cormac McCarthy. That's his work, right?
I use Blood Meridian a little bit in that, the gritty reality versus, movies from the 60s and all that sort of
When
thing.
did you know you wanted to get a degree in history?
Always the only thing I was interested in. It probably wasn't the best thing career or job wise, but it's the only thing I would pay attention and actually finish my degree for.
When now
So
you're going to be co-hosting a
it's
niche in internet history podcast with a
come full circle.
fellow history major. Yeah,
Yeah.
I won the state history day one year in sixth grade and got to go to DC and got a medal and everything. And it was North Dakota, so winning
I
state
did
was
not
not
know
that big
this
of a
about you,
deal.
Kevin.
Oh my God, yes, I did a whole thing on ancient Egypt. And then I did my senior paper at the University of Minnesota on the Egyptian Book of the Dead. I have a funny
Yes.
story about that where because I was working in the bookstore down in Dinkytown, and I pitched it to this fantastic professor who's a professor of the ancient Levant. So it would have been Sumeria, Babylon, Egypt, all that. Ava von Dessau was her name and is her name. And I pitched her that idea, and she was like, "Oh, I edited a volume on the Book of the Dead. So get this copy of it." And so there it was. And so I know too much about the ancient Egyptian Book of the Dead. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. And I went in as a philosophy major, but the philosophy department at Minnesota is very analytical. It's very empirical, British sort of philosophy of science, very, very dry. Oh my God. The philosophy of language. I was like, you've got me taking math classes again in philosophy. This is not philosophy that I want to read Schopenhauer and Nietzsche. I wanted to read continental philosophy. So I ended up focusing on European intellectual history. So it was like my roundabout way of getting to read the philosophy I wanted to read. And then I double majored history and philosophy. My long story short is just I'm geeking out over the fact that Matt's coming on to do the show and he has a degree in history. So that's and clearly a lover of literature, too. Yeah. An ex-Barnes & Noble employee.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got a podcast credentials.
Yeah, absolutely. There will be books. When did you move to Colorado?
After college, 2008. So I've been out here a while.
Of course you study the West, you have to go West, right? What the frontier.
Yeah.
What is the, and we got maybe five more minutes. What is there, if you had to define like the cultural difference between Kansas and Colorado, are there many?
Hmm? You know, a lot of Subarus out in Colorado. It's a little, I don't know. There's more hoity-toity parts.
In Colorado?
There's more earthy country folk out in Colorado, too. Let me think. The Boulder, Colorado, all your stereotypes, you might hear about that. Pretty true.
Hippies, Boulder hippies?
Hippies or rich people.
Crunchy, yeah.
Dressing like hippies, but, you know.
Sure.
I like it out here.
Trust fund crunchies.
Yes. But that's mainly Boulder. Out in Fort Collins and other areas, it's kind of more spread out. The joke I heard, you move out to Colorado, you get a Subaru, get a dog, and start a little band. Kind of update it to podcast now, but that's basically how it is. Yeah.
So with the last, I don't know, few minutes, I think you'll have to both indulge me on this then. Maybe this is a very online thing, but Matthew, since you've studied history and literature and philosophy and you moved around, how often do you think about the Roman Empire?
You know,
is it true?
Maybe
my husband, I just have to say, my husband the other day was like, oh gosh, it was yesterday, the sinking of the
Edmund Fitzgerald.
The sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. He's like, I think about that a lot. Who knows
where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? Yes. Gordon Lightfoot.
And I was like, I vaguely remember learning about that, but he's like, has been just on and off obsessed with it for a long time. And I'm like, how often do you think about the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald? And he goes, probably a lot. So, Matthew, do you think about the Roman Empire or another part of history?
See, I think if you update that to something like something similar, like the Civil War, World War II, Roman Empire, shipwreck. Yeah, most guys have something that they're obsessed with like that.
I think about the Roman Empire in the context of Philip K. Dick and the idea that we still live in it. It never ended. We're still in it.
Yeah.
And if you take the right cocktail of drugs, you can both simultaneously be in the Roman Empire and in late Imperial America and realize the empire never ended, as our friend Matt said. Matt, we're going to get along fine. If you enjoyed this chat, keep following us at badmouthtc.com. Email us if you want to come on the pod, badmouthtc@gmail.com. You got something to promote, especially in and around the Twin Cities. We're on Frogtown Radio 94.1 FM. It goes out on Minnesota Playlist too. And then, of course, we are wherever you get your podcasts. Amanda has one more thing, but I want to say go and listen to Matt's fine podcast, There Will Be Books, and tune into Art of Darkness at artofdarkpod.com because he's coming on. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great year. Amanda, what's up?
Yes, I was just going to say that on the Thursday, is it the 13th? We had guest Josh David Jordan on and Wild West Filmmaking who made El Tonto por Cristo, and they are coming to Minneapolis. So get your tickets. It is Thursday evening. I believe you can get them
at the Heights Theater. Heights Theater. In Columbia Heights. And if you've never been to that theater, I went and saw The Shining there last month. Outstanding, incredible experience. Love that theater. Yes. Support El Tonto por Cristo. I'll be there Thursday. So if you want to give me a hard time, I won't be hard to miss. So awesome.
Yes.
Good call,
Matthew,
out, Amanda.
Where can people find you on the socials? I saw on Instagram, it is at There Will Be Books, but no E on the B, books.
Yeah.
And where else?
Twitter, X, Spotify. We're on Patreon. We do have a lot of fun bonus content there. We do a deep dive on an author every year. So we're just wrapping up our Hillary Mantel. 2025 is the year of Hillary Mantel. And we're going to do another one for 2026. And patrons get a vote in who we choose to do the deep dive on. So, yeah.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Thank you, Matt. I can't wait. This is going to be so much fun. We'll get to keep nerding out about history and the Roman Empire and the wreck of the F. Scott Fitzgerald, which I saw someone tweet today. I was like, that's what we do. That's what we do on the pod. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Matt.